about, oh, I don't know, 5 o'clock hour, which was actually pretty early because of how late I got back from Olean. Yesterday was a long day. I had a wedding at 10:30 in the morning, so I left my house at 9 and came here and got ready and didn't get home till after 10 last night. So it was a long one. Then when I get home, I'm so wired from the service, I was up late. But he woke me up, changed my whole message this morning in about 5 minutes because he spoke to some heart. He said, some people have grabbed back onto those cares. They've casted them last week, and you let them go, but you grab back onto them. And so we're going to put a nail in the coffin today and get those things out of there. We're probably not going to write anything, but the Lord did lead me to do something after the service on the way here. But we're going to preach, and I'm going to show you about that again, cast your cares a little bit, but also I'm going to show you your next step when those cares try to latch back onto you. Because they will try to latch back onto you, but I know by the Holy Ghost, people have grabbed them back and taken them. And the Lord, you're not meant to carry your cares, amen? So let's go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And we know this, that remember, that we're not going to look there for time's sake, but remember the woman with the issue of blood, she got healed and Jesus gave her instructions. He says, now go in peace and you'll be continually made whole. So he said, if you get out of peace, if you get into fear, you get into doubt, you get into worry, you have a chance for all these bad things to come back on you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. It says this, casting. Notice it doesn't say casted or cast. It's an ongoing thing. How many of you know we're going to always have things that are going to try to get us worried? Because we're always going to have tests and trials. We're always going to have the enemy. We're always going to have the natural realm try to rear its ugly head to get us out of our place in God. So that's why he says, listen, this ain't a one-time verse. Anytime something new arises, anytime something tries to get back on you, just cast it onto him. And it says, all your care. God wants all your care. God wants everything that is troubling you, everything that's attempting to steal your joy, to rob you of your peace. God says, I want it. Why? Because he's able to carry it. He's able to take it. He's able to bear it. He's able to help get us through it. Glory to God. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Amen. One translation says, because it matters to you, it matters to him. Oh, I love that one. My life matters to him. Glory to God. Amen. So, casting all your care. Now, listen to what the Amplified says. It says, casting the whole of your care. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't want to ask God for too much. No, he wants it all. You can't take all God's resources away from him. He, trust me, he's unlimited. Amen? He wants every single bit of care that you got. Glory to God. He says, casting the whole of your care. And you know what I just realized? We didn't pray, and that's going to mess up the message if I don't pray and think I can do this on my own. So let's pray and ask him for his help. Father, I mean that, Lord, when I come to you. It's not out of a religious obligation. I know you wouldn't be mad at me if I didn't pray. I know you wouldn't strike me down. I just always like to make sure that you know that you're king, that you're first in my life, and that, Father, I don't even try to attempt to do this without you, Lord. And Father, you're the vine, I'm just a branch, and apart from you, I can do nothing. So, Lord, I ask you to be the main sender of this message today. Father, speak through me, that my words would be that of the Holy Ghost and not my own, Father, not enticing words of man's wisdom. And, Lord, I thank you that, Father, that what's said today will be a blessing to people because it'll come from you. And Father, I thank you that everyone here will get something that they need and will go from glory to glory, but we'll give you the praise. Father, we'll never try to rob or hijack your praise. You deserve it. You get it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Now, this is what I love. Once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, the Amplified says once and for all. That doesn't mean you do it one time, you're never going to have a care. But that specific care, he only wants you to have to get rid of that one time. He doesn't want you to have to constantly, okay, I casted it on him on Sunday, but you know, Tuesdays, boy, it's really just the devil's beating me in thoughts and the natural looks so real and, oh, I'm bearing that again. No, he says, I want you to get rid of it for one time and never even concern yourself with that thing that you cast on him after you cast it on him. Amen? Amen? But I know how life is. I know how my own life's worked. I know how the devil works. And I know that sometimes we're tempted to take it back. But I want to give you the next step. And that was in my spirit, to put the nail in the coffin today on these worries and these cares. Glory to God. Because God doesn't want you to take it back. That's the purpose of getting rid of it. So you don't remember the idea of the toy with Caleb? When he has a broken toy or a toy that's in the package that he can't get out? You know, a lot of times those new toys like cars will have little tiny screws that you have to, it makes me so mad. I just want to get the stinking thing out of the package, and I got to go find a little miniature little screwdriver to get those out. But when he gives me it, when he gives it to me, Daddy can fix it. But Caleb does it. Caleb does it. Caleb do it. And he'll take it from me, and the car stays in the package. Well, when it's in his hands, it doesn't get fixed. When it's in your hands, it won't get fixed. When it's in God's hands, and you start to let him work on it, then it'll get fixed. But he doesn't want you to take it back. You say, well, Pastor, nothing changed this week. Nothing in the natural realm changed. Nothing in that thing that I casted changed. Well, just so you know, the things that I wrote on my list, nothing changed either. He's working on it, though. He's working on it, though. And I heard one minister say this, give God a chance to work out the mess that you put yourself into, right? Some of us are years doing the wrong things, and we get in a mess, and we want God to fix it overnight. Well, it takes some maneuvering and some, you know, because God's working with human beings. God's working with people. And, you know, I'm glad that God can't just do what he wants to do, because that would take away the whole free will and the whole love that we have for him. So he doesn't want you to take it back. So what do we do, Pastor? What do I do when I get rid of that? Because I believe we all left free last week. I really do. I believe we left with a weight off our shoulders, with feeling blessed that we casted our cares on him, and he doesn't want us to have it. But then you leave here, and in here there's an anointing that you can't get out there. That's why church attendance is so vital, because, yes, you can spend time reading the Bible. Yes, you can spend time praying to God. But when God says don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, one of the purposes is to sit under a pastor, but also you're in a corporate anointing. That's why it feels so exciting in here. That's why it feels so easy. The cares that you have in your mind and your thoughts that are so big, they seem like nothing last week. Like, oh yeah, God's got them. And then you walk out there and you start up your car, and it's like, uh-oh, real world time. You wake up on Monday morning, and I'm not in church with everybody shouting and amening, and you, this crazy, wacky, 5'5", gray-haired pastor up here just spitting fire and getting so red in the face, it looks like his head's going to fall off, and it's different. And you wake up and you just, there it is again. That's where the rubber meets the road, and you got to make sure that you're being a doer of what God has said to do, because those things, don't think the devil all of a sudden said, well, that darn 213 Pine Street in South Dayton, I got to leave that church alone. They got rid of all their cares. They have nothing left to, I have nothing left to beat them up about. No. He says, I see those cares. I'm going to try to bring them back on them. I'm going to try to make it look louder. I'm going to try to make it look bigger. I'm going to try to make it feel harder, make it look more real. Don't let him. Don't take it back. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Praise God. I just want to help you. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, I'll come heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But, now notice this, speak the word only. Everybody say, speak the word only.
Speak the word only.
That's in, we're in verse, let's see here, verse 8. Matthew 8 and verse 8. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go. And he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And if you read the rest of that account, we know that his servant got healed. But let me ask you, was this a situation where worry, concern, and fear had a temptation to get on somebody? Absolutely. It wasn't a minor thing. In fact, he said, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Not just, well, you know, he's just got a minor headache. No, he's grievously tormented. So there's an opportunity to get into worry. There's an opportunity to get into fear. And what he did was what Jesus was going to do, but he did it for Jesus by telling Jesus just to do it. Jesus said, I'll come there and heal him, because that's what Jesus usually had to do. Go there and heal him, because he couldn't find much faith on the earth. And the guy said, you don't have to go. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Now, that, and Jesus said, that is faith, and that's what got the job done. See, people want to do some kind of mental gymnastics, some kind of physical gymnastics, because it makes them feel better that, you know, if I call a whole bunch of people, or if I'm worried about it, or if you know, I'm if I'm thinking about it all the time, it must mean that's really important to me. No, it just means you're really worrying about it. And we want to go through all these physical works things because it makes our flesh feel better. When Jesus said the response to this situation that was terrible and horrible, where worry, fear, and doubt could come in, he said the answer to it is just speak the word only. Yeah, just say the words. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, because when the cares and the worries and the doubts and the wrong thoughts start to come to your mind, you can't be quiet. And I'm going to show you examples of Jesus. Jesus was programmed to have an immediate response when anything arose that was not the will of God in his life. He didn't sit there and think about it. He didn't sit there and wring his hands, call everybody and worry. He was programmed to always respond with the word of God because it's the one thing the devil can't fight against. And so in a situation like this, this guy says, Jesus, you ain't got to come over. You just speak the word only. And Jesus said, my goodness, great faith. I haven't even found it in all of Israel. What's Jesus saying? If my people would just do this. You see, it's a lot harder on the flesh when you're going through hell on earth to just sit back, take a deep breath and say, when you have problems in your body and you're so sick and the doctor's report and the worry and the fear, it's so hard on the flesh to just sit there and go, by his stripes, I'm healed. That's doing the word only. Or when you're going through hell financially, all my needs will be supplied. I'm rich. Money's coming to me. Money. That's hard on the flesh because the flesh thinks, that can't be that easy. You got to do more than that. No, you don't. Here he said, Jesus, just speak the word only. And Jesus said, that'll get the job done. Don't even need to go there. I just got to speak the word. Yeah. When the worries and the cares come on you, that's why I said find verses. Find verses for what you're dealing with. Because when you find verses what you're dealing with, Jesus said in Isaiah, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on me. If you're going through healing, find healing. Going through financial, go find financial. Keep your mind on those. But when the attacks come and the worry, you know when you're starting to worry. You know when it's not just, well, I'm casually thinking about it, but I'm starting to panic and I'm starting to, you know what it is, it comes down to? When you start imagining it not working out. You know, the Bible says to cast down imaginations. We talked about this on Wednesday night. You know, so many people are imagining things. And they're always imagining it the worst possible situation. What if this doesn't turn out? What if the care I cast it on, that means you still got it. Because if you believe you cast it on him, he don't fail. He don't fail. I know that's terrible English, but he don't fail. He don't fail, praise God. And when you cast it on to him, you don't have to think about, well, what if it doesn't work out? Uh-uh, that means you're still carrying it around. Because if he's got it, like when Caleb gives it to me, there ain't no way that toy's not coming out of that package. There ain't no way the batteries aren't going to get put in right, for what he needs done and things that he needs done. And so it's the same way with your Heavenly Father. It's the same way. You give it to him. He doesn't want you to take it back, doesn't want you to be thinking about it, doesn't want you to be worried about it. And you know, those imaginations, the Bible says to cast them down. What if we just decide to inject a little bit of faith into our imagination? I mean, wouldn't that just be a whole different thing? A whole different ball game of instead of imagining, well, this is what it's going to look like if it doesn't work out, and holy cow, what am I going to do then? Because let's face it, that's what we do. What if we said, oh no, that's not only just going to get back to where it needs to be, that thing's going to be better than it ever was before. And I'm imagining what that looks like. I'm imagining not only the best case scenario, I'm even going to go even farther than that and say, it's going to be the God scenario, because God says, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So whatever you could even think about it, when I get to thinking about the best case scenario, I think, Lord, it's going to even be better than that, because you can do better than what I could even think of. And I'll tell you what, I got an imagination. I can think some things. But what if we just, instead of always negative with our minds, what if we just started sitting around, speaking the word, and then imagining the best thing that could possibly happen in that situation and in that care, right? I mean, glory to God. He's so faithful to us. You know, when I'll just go through these real quick. You know, the first major heavyweight financial trial, I had some, but not this extreme, was when we started that church. Of course, you know that story where I quit my job and pastored the church for free for 7 months, and every single month we were $1,200 to $2,000 short just on bills coming in. Didn't include diapers, didn't include food, didn't include anything else like groceries. That was just straight bills. That's how terrible I was with my money. I'm still paying for my trip to Colorado on my student loans. That's how stupid I was back then financially. And so it's taken me a while to get out of it. But praise God, it's happening. And a lot of debt's been crushed. But at the time when I left the job, the Lord told me to pastor the church. I wasn't getting a salary. And he told me, I was thinking about getting a third shift job. He said, don't you dare do it. The church will suffer. So I didn't. And I had to believe God. And I'll tell you what. It's hard on the flesh just sitting there and saying, thank you, Father. $1,200 is going to show up this month. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you want to know something? How did I get through it? I didn't get through it going through mental gymnastics. I didn't get through it going through physical gymnastics and trying to figure out and calling family members for this and trying to figure this out and try. Well, you know, I think I'll take out three jobs. Now, if God tells me to take out three jobs, I'll do it. But I don't just got going to do things on my own and make the church suffer and make my family suffer. And I'm not gonna do those things. In fact, my wife just got offered. Which is a pretty good job for around here, $40,000 a year job that the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare take it. Now, if we take it, my goodness, would that put us in a different place financially? And the Holy Ghost said, nope, don't you dare do it. And so we don't just do things on our own because it seems right. People, you need to stop doing things on your own. Amen? Amen? What are these stories for? To help you. It's not just, well, that's Pastor Mike's story time and that's his life. No, it's to help you in your life. And so Lord said not to do it. And I'll tell you what, the way I got through that, I told you, I was holding that baby boy. Every time I'd feed him, I'd speak the word only. That's the only thing I did to get through that was say, Father, I thank you. All my needs are met. Thank you for supernatural debt payoff. Didn't do any crazy things. Didn't get the 100 people on the prayer line. No, I just spoke the word only. And then when the Lord told my wife to quit her job, which was a very good job as the head of the early care and education department at the YWCA, it's a job she went to school for. Here we are. We just get back to where we paid $60,000 of debt off in 2 years. And the Lord says, now quit her. Now have her quit her job and you go full-time into the ministry. You're not going to be stay-at-home dad anymore. So really, Lord, you have a sense of humor here because, you know, it's kind of nice to have a lot of extra money here. He said, no, do it. You'll be blessed for doing it. Well, praise God. It's funny, when I quit that job, we got our dream house that we couldn't afford when we had two jobs. Got our dream house, got the truck I've been believing God for 10 years, and I got the baby girl that I've wanted ever since I could ever think I wanted a baby. All those things came as soon as we could quit her job. But actually, when she quit her job in May, that's when I was attacked in my body. I was on the deathbed there with my appendix that I didn't realize. Well, I was a month away from getting insurance that would have covered everything. I was a month away, and she just quit her job. And the first thing I said that I can remember when I came to was, oh boy, this is going to cost a lot. And my wife looked at me and she said, we won't pay a penny of that. And you know what? $30,000 to $40,000 hospital bill, we didn't pay a penny for it. We didn't pay a penny for it. I'm telling you the truth. We did not pay the hospital worked with us, but not only the hospital, I would call to find out my balance. They'd say, someone stopped in today and paid some of it, and they won't tell us who. People that visited me in the hospital started paying on my bills. Yeah. God, don't box God in. He has a way to get it to you. They say, why are you telling these stories? To help you. He's not just a lover of Pastor Mike. Amen. I mean, they were saying, Pastor, you must have made an impression on some people because people that are in the hospital here are stopping in and putting money on your bill. Didn't ask for none of it. Just my wife said, we will not pay a bit of that bill. All our needs are met. We didn't. We just spoke the word only. Spoke the word only, and it came to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it didn't get fixed by any other way than what that centurion did was speak the word only. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Mark 5 and verse 22. Hallelujah. So I'm going to show you when those cares start to try to come back on you. What do you do? There's a way to go about it in a way that will be a blessing to you. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Hallelujah. It says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now notice this. You tell me about a situation where someone has a temptation to be into worry and to be into fear. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. I'll tell you, that has new meaning to me. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee that you come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and that she shall live. And verse 24 says, Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. So this, now we're going to get into the story with the woman with the issue of blood. See, what people don't understand is that Jesus wasn't panicked about this little girl. He had time for that woman with the issue of blood. He stopped. He just got told, here's this guy beseeching Jesus greatly. My daughter's about to die, sir. Could you please come on the hand? Jesus, I'll go. So he's going. You can imagine the anticipation. Lord, we need to pick up the pace here. You know, we need to hurry to get there. And now there's much people thronging him, and along comes this woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus stops everything. He's not panicked. Jesus ain't worried. Just so you know, pressure is never of God. Just remember that. Pressure is never of God. Peace is the compass that God uses for your life. Pressure and fear and anxiety, it's never of God. And Jesus was just as calm as can be and attended to another lady's needs. Can you imagine what Jairus is probably thinking? Oh, hello. You said you'd come. My daughter's dying. We ain't got time for this right now. But he went. And then, so let's skip down to, we'll go past the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 35. Actually, in verse 34, because verse it says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. Verse 35 says, while he yet spake. So while Jesus was saying to the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Somebody's running up to Jesus and says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, so somebody now from this gentleman's house, Jairus' house, said, your daughter's dead. So you know, the thought that could come in his head was, well, she wasn't dead when I asked you. Now you stop for this stinking woman with the issue of blood. And now my daughter's dead. See, we read this casually, but think of the human drama here. Yes. Think of the human. Someone's coming saying, don't bother him. It's over. She's actually gone. No heartbeat anymore. No pulse. It's over with. He said, my daughter, he said, your daughter's dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? Now, this is what I love. Verse 36, Jesus was programmed. All of a sudden, Jesus is on his way there, right? Jesus is on his way to do something. Do you think that Jesus knew the beginning from the end? Do you think that Jesus knew she'd go from the point of dying to actually dying? Oh yeah, he knew. But he was programmed. Because now the will of God, Jesus was the will of God in action. The will of God was, I'm going towards this house to heal this girl. The will of God was she would be healed. Well then circumstances arise to try to take him out of the will of God. Same for your life. God says the will of God is that all your needs would be met, that you always triumph in anything you're going through, that you always can be healed. And that's the will of God, but then circumstances arise which will bring care onto your life to try to take you out of that. And this is what happened. They come to him and say, she's dead. Don't trouble the master any further. As soon, everybody say as soon. He didn't wait and think, oh boy, I missed this one. Oh boy, I made a mistake. Probably could have held off on that woman for a little longer. Maybe we should have jogged there. No, he didn't do it. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what word that was spoken? Doubt? Unbelief? Anything against the will of God? As soon as you hear the word that was spoken of doubt, unbelief, how do you hear it? Shooting right through here. Or it can be family members. I'll tell you what, it can be family members, it can be friends that you get around that start chattering to pull you out of the faith. As soon he was programmed. As soon as he heard the word was spoken, or we could say it this way, as soon as he heard what the will of God wasn't, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he looked at Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. Man, that gives me chills down my spine when I hear that, because that's how Jesus wants you to be. As soon, see, we don't do that. As soon as we get the negative report in the natural or the thought that rips through our mind, as soon as we hear it, we start to think about it. And we start to imagine the worst case scenario. And we start to think, yep, that's probably not going to be. Can you imagine what Jairus, the thoughts that came through his head? Here he has someone that he's heard had done miracles. He's actually got his attention. He's actually going to his house. And now they're saying the daughter's dead. And Jesus stops the unbelief right there. He doesn't even give Jairus a chance to think on that. He says, as soon as Jesus heard. So the guy said, your daughter's dead. As soon as Jesus heard, your daughter's dead. Don't be afraid. Your daughter's dead. Don't be afraid. Your daughter's dead, don't be afraid. Right after, he answered the devil and the anti-will of God immediately. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, only believe. Glory to God. Amen. And verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him. Yeah, you need to hear this. Save Peter, James, and John. Jesus then let nobody else with him except his inner three, Peter, James, and John. You want to know why? Because they were his faith warriors. He wanted nobody else around him that would be able to pull Jairus out of faith, because Jairus had more faith, more control over his daughter than Jesus did. You have more control of your finances and your business and your health and your children than your pastor does. Now, I can join in with you, but if you're not doing the job, I can't carry you. I don't have the authority for your family that you have for your family. I don't have the authority for your finances that you have for, just like you don't have the authority for my family and my finances. That's why we have responsibility in the body of Christ to do what we need to do and do it the right way. And it'll have great effect on our family when we do what we know to do right. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, he allowed no man to follow him. There's sometimes you need to cut off some of the communication you got with some people. There's sometimes in certain situations, you need not to tell certain somebody what's going on, because the first thing out of their mouth is going to be, oh no, and try to start putting that doubt, that seed of doubt in your mind. There's certain times you just need to just keep your mouth shut and just be between you and God.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, some of the most major things I go on, I only tell the biggest faith giants around me. Why? Because I don't need someone pulling me out of faith. I don't need someone telling me how bad it could possibly be. I need someone telling me, that thing's getting taken care of. That thing's going to work out. It's not. You're not going to go under. You're not going to go under. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be the way God said it. That's the people you need. And Jesus said, everybody else get away from me. He even got rid of the other 9 disciples and said, I only want Peter, James, and John.
Right.
Not because he loved them more, because they had something more than everybody else had.
Sure.
Yeah, that's for someone. Verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Now notice this. He seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly, doubt and unbelief. Now, let's give them a break. Of course, they don't know what Jesus knows. But a lot of people around you don't know what you know. They don't have the answer that you have. And Jesus, I love it again in verse 39, and when he was come in, he said to them, as soon again as he sees the doubt and unbelief, he's programmed to respond. He says, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. Now, she was naturally dead, but I'm going to get to that in a second. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 40. Can you imagine the picture? They laughed him to scorn. Are you ready for verse 40? But when he put them all out, he said, he gave them the word response. They didn't want it. They laughed him. He said, get out. Get out. Don't want you around me. Don't want the doubt and unbelief. Jesus didn't put up the doubt and unbelief. Oh, the doubt and unbelief that we put up with. And we don't understand that it's getting fed into our minds, and seeds of doubt and unbelief are getting in. And they laughed him to scorn, because he didn't want the disciples that were with him to all of a sudden say, oh man, why are they laughing at us? What? Jairus, all of a sudden see everybody, they think you're crazy, sir. She's dead here. You said she's sleeping, and now they're all laughing at you because we know she's dead. She ain't sleeping. There's no breath coming out of her. Her belly ain't going up and down. You put your hand by her nose, there ain't no air. And they laughed him to scorn. Verse 40. Praise the Lord. He said, and they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he put them all out. He took the father and the mother. Why did he take mom and dad? Because they had more authority than he did. He needed mom and dad's authority over this daughter more than he needed his own authority. So he got rid of everyone else. He kept the people that mattered. He took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and they entered in where the damsel was lying. Okay, verse 41. And they took the damsel by the hand, said to her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And we know the end of the story. She got better. Amen. But we can learn so much from this. And I want to go real quick to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12 as we get ready to close. And I'm going to show you what you need to do. I think we're kind of seeing what you need to do. But Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. As soon as any doubt and unbelief tried to creep in to take him out of the will of God, Jesus responded vocally. Do you see that? He didn't sit there and get quiet. The body of Christ has been quiet for too long. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the one area that the devil works on me more than anyone is my kids. He puts all sorts of wild things in my mind about my kids, and I don't sit there and be quiet. I say, absolutely not. Because the Bible says that my seed will be mighty on the earth, that my seed will be blessed and highly favored on this earth, that my seed will be like an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior. You know what an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior does? A mighty warrior is a good shot. That means that my seed or my kids are going to be like that arrow. They're going to hit the mark in life. They're going to be a great blessing. Glory to God. And the devil gives me thoughts. And I don't sit there. I say, no way, absolutely not. No, my kids are mighty blessed and highly favored on this earth. Glory to God. Mark 11 and verse 12, on the morrow when he was come to Bethany, praise God, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came happily. If you might find anything thereon, if you know anything about a fig tree, when it has leaves, it should have fruit. So he sees the leaves afar off. I'm hungry. I'm going to go get some food. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, people don't understand the significance of this, because they think, well, just go to another tree. Jesus was hungry. He had a need. This tree was not going to provide his needs, so Jesus was going to do something about this tree. This tree said, you ain't getting nothing. There ain't no food on me. How do we know the tree was talking? Because look at verse 14. Now, you've seen those talking tree thingies, and their mouths move, or like in Lord of the Rings. That's not what the tree was doing. The tree was casting thoughts into Jesus' mind. Anything ever talk to you? Your business ever talk to you? Your family situation ever talk to you? I mean, it don't have an eyes and nose and a mouth, but it doesn't talk. Your checkbook ever talk to you? Oh, yeah. Your body ever? The doctor's report ever have a loud voice? Your broken down car? The house that's leaking? Anything ever talk to you? Sure does. Oh, things talk. And the tree talked to Jesus. And Jesus answered it and said something. So now we have wacky Jesus talking to a tree. But he's our example. And it ought to be wacky so-and-so talking to their checkbook, and wacky so-and-so talking to their car, and wacky so-and-so talking to their bodies, and wacky so-and-so talking to fill in the blank. Because my Jesus was wacky, I want to be in that wacky club. Because as soon as doubt and unbelief came to Jairus, he answered. As soon as doubt and unbelief came to this tree said, you ain't getting nothing. Jesus said, I'm going to fix you. Jesus answered it and said, no man will eat fruit from you ever hereafter. And the disciples heard it. You say, that's not a big deal. That main purpose of that tree was to be a blessing to people. And Jesus said, you'll never be able to fulfill what you want to do because you didn't provide for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And see, we say that's not a big deal except for go to verse 20 now. Say, what's the big deal for our own lives? So what? Jesus cursed a tree. Well, number one, you need to know he talked to a tree. His disciples saw him speaking out loud to a tree. I remember someone telling me, Pastor, that is ridiculous that you talk to your checkbook.
No.
I said, I'm sorry. Jesus said unto it, the tree, I talk to its. I talk to things.
Yeah.
You can call me crazy, but I'll tell you what, it works. It works, praise God. And anyways, verse 20, it says, and in the morning as they passed by the fig tree, they saw it dried up from the roots, verse 21. And Peter remembered and said to him, Master. So it didn't happen immediately. It happened a day after. Isn't that amazing? If Jesus' situations don't change immediately, why do you think yours should?
That's right. Yeah.
It's not faith if you all of a sudden say, thank you, Lord, for $1,000. You log into your bank account and there's an extra $1,000. That's not faith.
That's right.
Faith is when you can stand, when it doesn't look like it's coming. Jesus, I love it. You know what he did? He said, I curse you. It didn't even change. Jesus didn't stand there and say, I said, I curse you. You must not have heard me. I'm the Son of God, and I said I cursed you. We know it didn't change because Peter didn't say anything about it till the next day. Listen, tree. Jesus said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter. He turned and walked away. What did he do? He spoke the word only. He didn't shake the tree. He didn't say, Peter, get an axe. I'm tired of this. This whole speaking business isn't working. Go get 4 jobs. Go do this. Go sell everything in your house. Now, if God's telling you to do those things, you do them. But when you act in your own behalf, you get in trouble. You wear your body out. You take time away from whatever you need, the things of God, right? You do what God's telling you to do. Don't do it on your own behalf. There's times God will lead people to get extra jobs, to sell things, to do things that will help them. But man, don't do it on your own accord. Jesus spoke the word only, and he walked away and said, that's good enough. That's good enough. Verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, said, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed, it withered away. And Jesus answered, said to him, have faith in God, or if, maybe in your margin, mine has it, because in original Greek, it doesn't say have the faith of God, or have the faith in God, it says have the faith of God. Or he says, do it like God does it. Do it like God does it. Have the faith of God. And then he says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, he's saying, now listen, boys, I did that for a purpose, to teach you a lesson. Now I'm going to teach you what the lesson was all about. I didn't just curse a fig tree just for the heck of it. I didn't just want to curse it so you could walk by and be impressed with my miraculous, marvelous powers. I want to show you that you can speak to natural things and they will change. He says, the disciples said, Master, it's cursed. And Jesus said, have the faith of God. And now he explains it. Verily I say unto you. Now, you say, oh, man, those lucky disciples. He was speaking to them, but thank God he includes us because he says that whosoever.
Yeah.
Didn't just include the 12.
Yeah.
It includes everybody in this section, everybody in this section, and every human being on the face of planet Earth is a whosoever. That whosoever shall say unto the mountain, why did he use a mountain? Because the cares that you're carrying can be like mountains at times to you. And what's a mountain? Something that looks big. Something that you can't move on your own. Something that looks like you can't get over. Something that looks like it's just too hard to get around. That's what a mountain is. He says, how are you going to get to the mountain to move in your life? Whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed. Boy, that seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Mountain, be moved. Mountain, go away, be moved. It's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to say it. Be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he thinketh, those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So Jesus is saying, listen, yes, I changed the natural with my words, but I did it to show you that you can do the same thing. I know people have mountains in their lives. Worrying is not the answer. Speaking the word only is the answer. Glory to God. So here's what we're gonna do. When you don't speak the word only and you meditate on these things, they grow and they grow and they grow and they get bigger and they get harder and they look stronger and they look taller and wider. Here's what you do. When you cast, if you've retaken that thought, I'm gonna give you a chance to cast it again. The Lord said, there's a 5-minute song that on the way to church, the Lord said, play this song. It's gonna be a blessing to people. During this time, this is what I want you to do. If any new cares arisen, if any of those cares that you cast last week, have you taken them back and you're worried about them, cast them back on them again. He doesn't say, oh, one-shot deal here. No, he says, do it again. Casting your care. Recast it back on him. But then from this point on, when you leave here and that thought comes, don't meditate on the thought. Answer the thought. Immediately, answer it with the word. If it's lack that you're going through, lack through, shoots through your mind, my God will meet all my needs. If it's healing and your body's acting up and symptoms and the doctors, immediately answer it and say, by his stripes I am healed. If there's a situation that's tempted to get you into fear, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I shall not fear, glory to God. No weapon formed against me will prosper, right? Answer it immediately. So that's your homework for the rest of your life, as long as you have a heartbeat on this planet. And cares try to get on you. Get them off, and then every time they come, respond and just respond with the word and simply say, Father, I thank you you're working on it. I thank you you're working on it. Amen. How much easier is it, instead of wringing your hands, staying up all night, losing sleep, how much easier is it just to walk around saying, I'm the healed of the Lord. Yeah. I'm fully, this is what I always say, when I'm going to get the mail, Caleb will say it with me, he's like a little parrot. I'll say, Father, he'll say, Father, I say, I thank you that I'm fully funded, I'm not troubled, and I'm healed all the days of my life. Speak the word only. And I got him saying it too. Praise God. Yeah. He's going to be a little preacher boy. Praise God. Preaching the word. Just speaking the word. Speak the word in your life. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to put that song on. If you've taken any of those cares back, you cast them back on. If something new has arisen, get it off. God doesn't want you to have it. And then respond with the word and thank the Father that it's going to be done. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to do a salvation call after, but I got to follow the Holy Spirit on this.
Amen.
Praise God.
My care upon you, my Father, and I leave it there. It's mine no longer, for you care for me. So cast my care upon you, my Father. face. I know what I'm to do. I am not to worry, but simply trust in you. I cast my care upon you, my Father, and I leave it there. It's mine no longer, for you care for me. So watchfully I cast my care upon you, my Father. Though this world so troubled, I've no need to despair. I can come to your throne and find grace and help there. I cast my care upon you, my Father, and I leave it there. It's mine no longer, for you care for me. So watchfully I cast my care upon you, my Father. It's so good to know you care for me, and you shall supply my every need. Nothing's too big for you, so I can rest. You get me to the other side of every test. I cast my care upon you, my Father, and I leave it there. It's mine no longer, for you care for me. So watchfully I cast my care upon you, my Father, for you care for me. So watchfully I cast my care upon you, my Father.
I think sometimes people think that pastors are exempt from, you know, stuff. And in fact, I think sometimes maybe they come on stronger because it's trying to take you out. But just do the same thing, you know, cast it away and give it to him and praise God, it'll be all taken care of. Whew. I just love you, Jesus. Praise God. He loves you. Amen. He cares about you so much. Hallelujah. Just worship him right now. Love you so much. I'm just a little overwhelmed. overwhelmed by his just goodness and his love, and I just worship and just praise you. Thank you. Just love you so much. He doesn't want you to be worried. He doesn't want you to have to carry all that. Amen? He gave you Jesus to prove to you that, man, he loves you so much, and so don't forget that, amen? He loves you. He loves you a lot. So, you know, when I'll get ready to close this, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and he said that the girl's not dead. He said he's sleeping. She was dead. She was dead, amen? And but what did he do? He called those things which be not as though they were. He called her not dead when she was dead. He called the fig tree cursed when it wasn't cursed, just like he called Abraham. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations, yet Abraham didn't have a child. So start calling the situations the way you want them to turn out. Amen?
Amen?
Give it to God. Get it off your shoulders. And then start calling it how you want it to be. Call that situation different. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much today. We're just so grateful to be in your presence. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's not one thing that you're not concerned about in our lives. Father, there, you are just concerned with even the most minor of details. Father, you love us. You care so deeply about us. Lord, I think about my own children, and Father, I can't even put into words how much I love them, how much I just, there's certain times I'll see Caleb when he's not even knowing that I'm watching him, and I just think, man, I just love him so much, Father, but you love us so much more. You're so good to us. Father, help the people to realize that and understand that. Lord, open their eyes to see that, you know, you haven't forgot about them, that you haven't forsaken them, that to the smallest, to the greatest of trials, Father, you care so much about us. You love us so deeply. And so, Father, open their eyes to see that today. That, Lord, that they wouldn't have to feel like they have to go through this alone and that they'd have to do things by themselves, Father. But, no, you're there to do it for us. And so we give you all those things. And we just thank you you're working on them, Father. We thank you whatever we cast onto you, we thank you you're working on it. And we call that thing turned around. We call that situation changed in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we're going to have great faith that you'll be able to find it here in our lives and in this church. And we'll speak the word only. If that's what it takes, then we'll do it. And we'll rest on your word and know that when we say it, that you're working on it. And we praise you for it. If I could have heads bowed and eyes closed, I pretty much know everybody personally in here and where you stand with Jesus. But I don't know everybody that could be listening by live stream. If you're in this building, even if, or if you're listening by live stream, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never accepted him, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, you say, well, I don't even know what that is all about. Well, if today were your last day on planet Earth, would you go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If your answer isn't, yes, I'd go to heaven, then you need Jesus. And so the Bible says if you just call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. He's made it so simple. That's a demonstration in itself of how much he loves you. He's not looking for religious hoops to jump through. He's not looking for religious gymnastics, so to speak, to get him to love you. He just wants you to believe that Jesus died and rose again. So if you're here in this room, is there anybody that, heads bowed, eyes closed, you've never received Jesus and made him the Lord of your life? Praise the Lord. I didn't think I'd see any hands in here, but you never know. But if you're listening by live stream and you want to receive Jesus, just say this to him and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me, and I ask you to come into my life. And if you said that and you meant it, you're saved now. You're heaven-bound. But God has so much more for you than just going to heaven. And let us know. Shoot us an email. Give us a phone call. Let us know you accepted Jesus, and we'll help get you onto that right path and to that right track with God. He's got so many good things for you. But Father, we love you today. We thank you. We can walk out of here carefree. We thank you. That's the life that you have for us. That's the life that you want for us, Father. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Michelle, before you put on music, I need to fix that back there. You're just...